have three grandchildren that are attending there in the various schools, young grandchildren. And one of the DTS students, one of our opening schools of the university, asked one of my grandchildren, she's about six, and said, well, how old are your grandparents? She said, well, my Papa Lauren, he's somewhere in his 70s. And my Nana Dar, me, she's either 21 or 22. I don't know which. I don't know why you're laughing, but I never have corrected her. We have had this wonderful, wonderful life and joy of being called to youth. And we have not lived a boring life. But as we were having dinner last night, I said, you know what's so amazing to me? It's never been more exciting than it is right now. What the God is doing on the earth and the new innovations that he's allowing us to discover in order to see the kingdom move forward. I know you love Jesus, or at least you're wanting to find out more about him, or you wouldn't be here today. But I hope by the time you walk out the door, you love him more. Thank you.
It is our joy, and it's my joy to be back again. I didn't expect it so soon. I didn't even know my assistant offered that. But that's all right. I just enjoy being here. And it is a wonderful month for us. This is the last day of June, of course. But during June 14th of this month, we celebrated our 100th anniversary, wedding anniversary. And so that was 50 years for me, 50 for her. That makes 100. But as I'm here today, the scripture that is so strong on my heart this morning was Joshua 14, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Therefore Moses swore to me on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. And in verse 12 it says, and this is Caleb speaking, therefore give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And I want to speak on the area of pioneering today. I want to apply it to what Solomon Porch is doing. I want to illustrate it by what our life has observed, our eyes have observed, our joy has been in watching God at work over these many years. And as we, by the way, I started YWAM before we married, and then she applied, and I was able to double our staff in one day. Now that's amazing. But it's hard to do now. But anyway, as we have walked together these many years, seeing God at work, it's really overwhelming. And at age 13, the Lord spoke to me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I thought then he meant for every country. So by 1999, I'd gone to every nation in the world and all dependent countries and over 200 islands and territories. And so that would make more than 400. And in doing that, and yes, I've been to Kosovo, that's a new country, and also South Sudan, even since I saw you last November. And but as I've watched what God does, he fulfills his promises. And that is always so amazing, to see the way the Lord fulfills his promises. I hadn't noticed before But it was on my 40th birthday. The Lord had told us that he was going to give us some property, and he was going to take us to a place called Kona that none of us had ever been before. And I didn't think anything about it at the time, but I was actually born at the end of the day on June the 30th. And on July the 1st, on my 40th year, that was the year we moved to Kona. And I didn't think about it at the time. But it was only recently that the Lord quickened this scripture to me. And I began to see that it was something very key as I was 40 years old and the Lord gave us that promise. I then began to extrapolate from there and began to see all the things that he has promised. And now I'm looking at the things that he's promised that haven't been done yet. But I want to just show you a few of the things, because the Lord had shown us that we were to go and establish a university in Kona, the University of the Nations. And it was in order to fulfill the area of the spheres of society, the seven generic spheres of which in a complex society like your own here and many in the world, but in a very simple society, like in the jungles of Amazon, like the Suaraha people, they have all seven of these spheres. They don't have any layers under them. But taking from there, in a complex society, you have layers and layers. But you work to, literally, as the Lord showed me, if you're going to disciple all nations, you need to not only go to a nation and establish a church as we know it, but the church of Jesus Christ should be established in the sense of presence of his people that really understand that their role is a role that is helping what God has put before us to do. And that is a creative job with the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we note that it was without form and void. It was not organized. When you're pioneering, you don't pioneer it in God, full grown, any more than a baby that is conceived is full grown. And then when it is born, it's still not full grown. And so there is a process of growth and maturation. And so God was showing us how to pioneer, how to create new things in him. And it looks messy at first. And then little by little, he began to separate and organize day from light from darkness and land from sea and so on. It wasn't until the fourth day that he gave us this idea of 7 days in a week. And he gave us at that time the 24-hour day. If most Christians overlook that, I don't know why. They think that the 24-hour day came earlier. But it came on the fourth day. And that word day is period of time. And so in that fourth season there, that fourth period of time, he gave us that for responsibility so that we could be accountable. And we have our seasons given on that day. And as we understand that, then we begin to see how the Lord wants to create through us as we become more mature. Our character begins to grow. We're more accountable to him and more responsible to our purpose that he's called us to. So as we have that background and understanding, then we understand after the verse 27 on the seventh day, male and female made he them in the image of God. But he said to them, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and then subdue it or manage it. So God has given us responsibilities, and that includes everything from environment to, because even in Romans 8, it says even creation is groaning for its adoption. And we have to come bring back what Jesus brought back to us and delegated to us, that in his name and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we disciple all nations by teaching them all that he commanded. And as we understand the purpose God has given us, and then the calling and the vision that God has given you to the megalopolis cities around the world. A megalopolis city is born in population every week at the number of New York City. Now, I'm not saying that every city is becoming that, but I'm saying that much is added to the megalopolis cities of the world. And so we're seeing what God has given you as a vision for Solomon's Porch. And there's a creativity involved in doing this with God because it's so important. Now, we have to evangelize, yes. That's step one. But we walk on two legs. You have to get step two before you can continue step one. And that is disciple. You evangelize, you evangelize, disciple. And in doing so, you can see the increase of his government and his kingdom. Now, if you look in Isaiah 9, this is a powerful verse starting at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's hard for me to read in a modern version because I've memorized in the King James. But, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this day forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now his zeal works through us. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have the zeal of the Lord. But through us, he can do all things. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, that you are the light of the world, verse 16. But verse 18, let your light so shine that they will see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. So we can create with God. And as we do, that's being fruitful. Then we have to learn multiplication, and then we have to think of filling the earth. So with half of the world's population now living in cities, I think God's not giving you just a small vision. What do you think? Whenever you understand what God is saying to you, you not only start a living body of believers in these places, but you teach them how to multiply and how to fill the earth into their spheres, their other hours and days that they're not in the gathering of the people of God, but they're out there where God is doing a work. So in YWAM, the Lord started us out in evangelism. And as we've been evangelizing and ministering through the ways that he gives us, he showed us that we were, from the beginning, really to go into the area of evangelism, training, and mercy ministries. And so those are the areas. Mercy ministries you'll find in Matthew 25. Food, drink, clothing, shelter, health care, and taking care of visiting those in prison. And so as we think of those areas, then we, as the body of Christ, can really make the difference in the world today and establish his kingdom that will be increasing along with his government from the day that he's already declared. And if you look 100 years after Christ, one out of every 360 people on earth were then believers. Then by 1,000 years after Christ, one out of 220 we're now believers. By the time of Martin Luther, one out of 69 were believers. By 1900, for the first time in all of history, they had moved up from the time of Christ, about 200 to 300 million people on earth, to 1 billion people on earth by the year of 1900. By that time, if you know your history of missions, you'll know why. But by that time, one out of every 27 people on earth were now believers. By 1950, one, in spite of two world wars, one out of 21 were believers. And then by 1980, 4.5 billion people lived on the earth. So you notice the population is growing fast, very fast. But the Church of Jesus Christ is growing much faster. By 1980, one out of every 11 people on earth have described themselves as born again believers, followers of Jesus. Now, if you take the cultural understanding of Christianity, you know, we just came from Norway and Friday, and so we say, well, I'm Norwegian, so I'm a Christian. Well, that would be one out of every three on earth. So we're talking about believers. And as you think of the increase of his kingdom that is faster even than population growth, this is the amazing truth that God predicted, God said it would be, and his zeal would make sure that it took place. And it's taking place in our time. So what do we do? Well, when I saw the vision of the waves of millions and millions of young people going out from everywhere to everywhere with the gospel of Christ, I said, Lord, I want to be a part of that, because I believe that his zeal was going to do it. And I wanted to be one of those that was chosen to be a part of that. And now in YWAM, they just told me over 5 million that have participated short term. But in full time locations, we're in over 1,500, and those figures are always 3 years late. But it takes time to count them. I can't go to all of them anymore. I used to when there were two or three. And but as we're watching the growth, there's another growth that has to take place. Being fruitful is one thing. Multiplication is another. And you have to teach. You have to disciple in order to see all that God wants to do in multiplication. And multiplication is different than just winning them to Christ. We're watching the differences of this in the unreached people groups that have never heard the gospel before. Show them the Jesus film, explain it to them, and ask them for commitments, and 1 year later, come back, and there's 2% following Jesus. When they disciple them by giving them some form of the Word of God, excuse me, I've been talking too much over the last weeks. But as you give them, you ask them, who's the leader of your group? Get 10 people together of these new ones that have come to Christ. They'll usually point to one of them, and he'll be the leader. And so once they've decided that, excuse me for eating in your midst, but they did that in Acts chapter 2. They went from house to house, you know, eating. And verse 42. Anyway, as they give them an oral Bible and they listen to it and follow through until there's a break in the story, not by chapter and verse, but by a break in the story, then they talk it over, then they pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help them. They came back 1 year later, instead of 2%, it was 200%. Now, this has been tested by three different groups, and we're just finding out that you can't just win people to Christ. And I'm not saying that there aren't some that just evangelize and some that just disciple. That's all right. But what we have to do is make sure both are done. And they need the Word of God to see that accomplished. And so this means that we have to take that Word and disciple into every sphere of life, the family. And that's why the church is growing so fast in China, because it's held in the homes and it's multiplied home to home, and the family is being held together as the church is growing and multiplying. We need to do more for families. I'm glad to see the outreach, retreats you've had in that area. But the second area is the church, which includes the mission of the church. And so both missions and church, in terms of the local fellowship of believers, you have to have that in order to see the work of God extended beyond its borders. The third is the education of the young, and that is the discipleship there, but then discipleship should go on throughout all of life. Then the fourth is the area of transmedia. We used to call it communication, then it became media, now it's transmedia because digital has taken over, but transmedia includes still the printed page all the way through the internet. So instead of just Gutenberg Press, we have the Googleberg Press now. And this allows us to get the Word of God literally to the world. But we have to have a very clear plan, strategy, that when we go into a city, that you're going to reach into every one of the spheres. So the fifth one is celebration. You often begin with celebration, because the arts and music is part of the arts, performing arts, and even entertainment and sports. And as you go in through that doorway, there's somehow a neutrality, and there's somehow a touch of the heart, especially through the arts. And it opens up the hearts in order to receive even more. And then after that, it's the economy, which starts with science and technology, and it moves into production, sales, and service. Science and technology, new discoveries, lifts the wealth of the world. If I try to sell you a handful of sand from Waikiki, you still wouldn't give me much, would you? You'd say, I'd rather save my money and go there. But if you put it into a microchip, and you're the first to do so, you're going to not only raise your own wealth, you're going to raise the wealth of the world. Because then as it's produced and sold and served, then the wealth is distributed. Unless some people learn greedy ways to divert it. But these are areas that God has given to us. And we are to disciple into them so that they don't become greedy. And so they don't become, as we've seen recently, too big to fail, and yet they are failing. Then the final is government, and there's three parts of that. Isaiah 33, verse 22, gives us the three parts to government, executive and judicial and legislative. But as we see that, then there are layers underneath that. Each one of those. So as we look at all that God has provided for us, and I was watching as the Lord was leading us in YWAM, He made an emphasis first on evangelism. We continue to do so, and through programs like Impact World Tour, we're filling stadiums in five continents, six continents usually, and this is all young people doing things that are they're either performing artists or they're athletes and so on, and they're well known, and so they grab a big crowd and then they give their testimony, and many people come to Christ that way. We are evangelizing in the personal way. We're evangelizing all in between, and so this is very important. We are also ministering in all of the areas of food, drink, clothing, shelter, healthcare, and visiting the prisoners. But we have to look very seriously at the area of the spheres. Some call it the mountains now, but Paul speaks of his sphere of influence over the people in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And so, as we begin to see these areas, We have to do something to plan and make that step for pioneering. And so for us in YWAM, there were two things that were to be born at the same time. This is what the Lord told us. It was to be twins. And as we look at how God did this, it's so amazing to us. In 75, he talked to us about the spheres and said in 77, I want you to start the university. In 78, we looked around and we realized we already had over 200 locations with, at that time, no, that 78. We had 40 locations at that time training, and many of them had multiple courses. And so we began with Dr. Howard Malmsted to put together something brilliant. But I want to show you just a quick video here in Kona, just to show you the areas that we're moving into the spheres and getting the Bible out into the world. So if you'd show that at this time. With challenges like we've been given, we need the zeal of the Lord to perform it. There's no way that we cannot. And it was yesterday that I felt I was to go back into history and share some steps that the Lord gave us. It was the year of 1973. I was on my way to Denmark. At that time, we had bases from Finland down to Spain, from Iceland to Greece, and into Africa and several other parts of the world. And all of this had taken place in just a very short amount of time. And so as I was traveling up there, the Lord gave me these five EXs. And the first is the excitement of vision. The second is the experience. The third is the exam time, which is the cross. And then the executive phase, the authority that God gives you on the other side in resurrection. And then finally, exponential growth, which is multiplication. And he said, I want you to give this to your leaders there, meeting together from all over Europe in Denmark at the time. But next year, I want you to give it at the global event led by Billy Graham called Lausanne on Congress on World Evangelization. And I didn't even have an invitation to the meeting on world evangelization. But that's what the Lord told me. And then we began to walk through the steps of what it would mean to create this ministry called a ship or mercy ship ministry. And as we walked through it, this was a vision that God had given to me in 1964 and confirmed by a 17-year-old girl in another part, in another prayer group of that same time during a terrible hurricane, Hurricane Cleo, which was the worst at that time of the Caribbean. And 1,300 people killed, homeless people left everywhere, and the Lord showed me and this other girl in another prayer group as we were in the storm at the time, praying for the people. And he showed me the big ship that would minister to them, and in all the categories, both practical as well as spiritual. And as we prayed that, we believed that God was going to do it. And so it was 9 years later that we felt that we were to start. And the Lord told me we would have to walk through all of those seven X's that year. And I didn't know what that meant, but I said, of course, Lord, we will be glad to do that. But we began to see answers that were so amazing to us. A ship captain said, I've been called to be a ship captain for many years on just this kind of thing. And I've done my due diligence. I've done the job. And I want to sign up. Come. And the same with all the crew. And after we got through the crew, then the Lord began to supply us. First of all, we said, Lord, the ship needs a lot of paint. We knew that much. And so I got a letter out of the blue. God's blue. Anyway, it was a paint company owner in the United States. I'd never heard of him, and he had never heard of me, but God told him to write to us and tell us that he would offer us paint because God told him to. Whatever we needed. And I, thank you, Lord. And then we said, Lord, we want this ship to look good inside. I didn't know what to call it, but a designer, you know, to make it look good. I got a letter from London on letterhead, and it said, I am the architect designer for the Queen Elizabeth II, and the Lord told me to offer you my professional services free of charge. God has his people. And in every place, when Abraham went to Philistine, he found there Melchizedek. And God always has that. For Paul, he had in Philippi, Lydia already prepared for him. And as the woman of peace, he said to the ones that he sent out short term, look for the man of peace in the town where you go. There'll be one. And that's always the case. As you're pioneering, you need to look for the one of peace. Man or woman, you look for them and they will be there. Because this is God. The zeal of the Lord will do this. And he's already prepared people before you get there. You think, I'm the one that's going to bring it all. No, no. The Holy Spirit has already gone before you. And so as we're watching what God does, and then your part fits in with his plan. You don't dominate the plan. You fit into his plan and therefore his people. And so as we were listening to the Lord and following through, this is when we got a major gift. A man called me on the phone. I'd never heard of him. And he said, the Lord told me to call you. Does this number mean anything to you? And he gave me a number. And I said, no. And he was talking in British pounds. I was thinking in British dollars. I mean, American dollars. But, yeah, we used to be a part of Britain, too. Anyway, as you know, God was speaking to people. Then we had only $600,000 left to go. And a man from the Philippines said, I have that. For the Lord told me to give you that, but it's in the Philippines, and I can't legally get it out. I must go there and talk with Marcos, who was the president at the time. And so we were right at the brink of getting the last amount of money ready to go. We had 110 people already cleaning up the ship. We made a deposit on the ship, and I was in Korea at the time, sleeping on a yo, a little mattress on the floor in an unfinished apartment. We had 300 and almost 50 young people there for an outreach and from all over the world. And this was still 1973. We're now in August, late August. And as I'm waking up that morning, I saw myself standing before the YWAMers and saying, God has just released the last $600,000 for the ship. And we're on our way, and we were all cheering. And everything just seemed just really great. When I looked back over my shoulder, and there in the shadows, and this has touched me so hard, I can never tell it without it touching my emotions. But I saw Jesus standing there being ignored. And we were exalting a ship that we called our ministry. And it was supposed to be for his glory and his honor. I wept for 2 hours and I gave him back the ship. There's a time when you go through the stages and you begin to experiment with what God says. Now, if you take the book of Luke, chapter 5, where you see that Peter, James, and John were fishing, caught nothing. And Jesus gave them vision. That was first. And he said to them, cast your net on the other side. There was no reason why they should. They were experienced fishermen. They had fished all their lives on Galilee. But in obedience to God and to Jesus at the time, they cast their net on the other side and caught so many fish, their nets wouldn't hold them. And they had to call for help from those of other other ships. And so, as they did, they came ashore. This was the largest gathering of fish they had ever seen caught in their lives. Stacked up. Now, this is like a real estate agent, you know, selling the biggest company and making the biggest amount of money in all of his career. It'd be like the construction man or the developer developing the biggest development he had ever done in his life, or on and on. This was huge. But then Jesus gave them a vision that was bigger. He was showing them, look what you can do with my zeal, my creativity. If you can do that with this, I'll give you something better. You're going to become fishers of men. And so they followed Jesus. Then he sent them out, Luke chapter 10. As he sent them out, he said, now I want you to go two by two. Don't go alone. But as you go, go where they receive you. For short-term ministries, you need to go where they're prepared. And especially as you take young people in, they need to see fruit. They need to be fruitful. They need to see something happen. Later on, you can do the plowing of the hard soil of the pathways and clean out the rocks and the weeds and so on. But the first time out, it's very good to send them to where it's easy and where it's very fruitful. And so that's what Jesus did. He said, if they don't receive you, go on. Don't stop there. Don't make a big deal about shaking the dust off. That means just get moving. Go somewhere else. And until they receive you. And as they went out, they came back rejoicing. And that's something about the experimental time. You come back rejoicing. Look what God has done. I'm always amazed every time we send out a group. We just sent out 600 and in groups of 10, 60 teams all over the world. They were all equipped on their telephones. They had the language of the people that they were going to minister to with the Bible and the Jesus film. They also had a backpack, 31 pounds. I don't know how many kilos that is, maybe 16 or so, and not that much, but whatever it was, and they had a big screen. They could show it up to 1,000 people on one side of the screen, but if they work both sides, they can show 2,000, and a little projector like that, and also solar empowered as well as batteries and AC, DC, whatever, and they also had a public address system, which was a fat little, like a phone, only really fat, that would cover 1,000 on each side. So you had to have two. And they have been reporting of the tremendous results and all that they're having in all of these places. And they, with their phones, they can actually transfer the Bible and the Jesus film from their phone to the others, not just Samsung, but they could do it with all the different phones. They were trained ahead of time to do this. So it makes a huge difference whenever they're getting the Word of God out and then saying to them, now you give it to as many of your people as you can, all their friends, and have them give to all their friends, and have them give to all their friends. You're wanting multiplication. And getting that multiplication out is very important. And so as we send them out, there's a wonderful experience for them where they come back rejoicing. Look what God has done. We even had teams now in Nigeria that have seen the dead come to life. And this has been just an amazing time for all of us. I've never seen that myself. But I've met a woman that was dead 3 days down in Kwasi Sabantu, down in South Africa, all declared dead by doctors and nurses around and everything, and nobody would let her be buried yet. And, what do you say to them? Welcome back? I don't know. But anyway, we're seeing something that is way above what we could ask or think. And we know we're not doing it, but the zeal of the Lord is performing it. Now, as these things take place, then you come to the time when Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. And many left him at that time. That's exam time. But in chapter 22 of Genesis, you'll see that God speaks to Abraham and says, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son that you love, and offer him on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice to me. Can you imagine what went through his mind? Must have broken his heart, but it starts there in verse 1 there. The Lord tested Abraham. The Lord tested him. Now, he had to go to Mount Moriah. That was quite a distance. Why? You'll see in Chronicles chapter 2, I think it's First Chronicles, where Mount Moriah and Mount Zion are the same places. Mount Zion and Mount Golgotha and Mount Calvary are the same mountains. So the Lord was actually sending Abraham to the very place where he himself was going to offer his own son as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so you know the story how Abraham got a reprieve. Just as he was going to sacrifice his son, God said, wait, I'll provide myself a sacrifice. And what a joy came into his heart, like our hearts, when we find Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins, and our sins are forgiven. There's a death of even a vision in ministry. I didn't understand that. But we had to give back that ship. We had to say, we love you more than we love the ministry, the vision, the purpose you called us to do, at least the tool for that purpose. And there's over 1,000 populated islands just in Micronesia, Melanesia, Polynesia. We have them all mapped out. We know right where they are. We know the population estimates and all the rest for every one of those islands through the Oceania, we call it, or Pacifica. And then you add to that Philippines and Indonesia and all the other islands that we have in the world. It's an amazing challenge. Just in Pacifica alone, there's 781 islands that have no airstrip at all. And so we've got to move and find an answer. And here we were talking about our first ship, and we gave it back. It caused a lot of confusion in New Zealand, because up until that time, it was first front page columns every day about youth getting a ship. We were buying the Maori ship, which was an icon in New Zealand, linking the North and South Island. And it was on TV every night. And this was always a big, big item. But when we gave it back to the Lord, I wrote a letter to the news media there and said, don't blame God, blame us. We robbed God of his glory, and we were presumptuous. And we have to say, and we were offered loans, we were offered every kind of thing to say you don't have to lose your ship. But in our case, we had to. And when we did, then Darlene and I went down to New Zealand and went through this city after city, all the main cities, letting anybody come and yell at us or ask us questions or whatever they wanted to do. But we apologized to the nation. And following that time, I was with Dr. Don Hoke. He was the general secretary of the Lausanne Congress. And he said, Lauren, Billy Graham just asked me to ask you to speak at the Lausanne Congress. I said, Don, I can't do that. We have just lost all credibility worldwide over our ship loss. Oh, he said he's heard about that. This is just the ways of God. And I said, well, it's more than that. And I said, I can't accept. He said, well, at least pray about it. I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went to the Lord in prayer. The Lord said, I told you you were going to speak, and I gave you what you're going to speak at that Congress last year. And, oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself, everything. But so I told Dr. Hoke, I said, yes, I'll do that, and explained to him. And that particular message on death of a vision went into Billy Graham's book on Let the Earth Hear His Voice. And they took the entire message, because it's really a message of Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Every ministry goes through a death in order to go through a resurrection that brings on that executive or that authoritative role in God. You use influence among people like the Holy Spirit does, but you use your spiritual authority in God. And that's as you receive His promises and declare them and begin to live in them even before they take place. And you walk bridges that haven't been built yet. And as you do so, you have the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. And that's Hebrews 11, verse 1. And that's the essence of faith. You have such an assurance in your heart that God has said this, and He's going to do this. And when the resurrection came, it was in 78, when we started the university, that's the time God released the first ship. I'd like to do a video on the ships. This is another short video. But this is where we are right now. This is not real photograph. This is just graphics. Just in the last few days, and then add to that a few months, we have seen amazing things. Just before we were in Norway, we were in Thailand, Chiang Mai, and we had four conferences in a row there, and one of our leaders from Singapore came to me, and Joseph said, "You know, Lauren, we've been praying for ships, and I just wanted to show you what God's been telling us." And he said, "You had a vision in 1973, in fact, set up a corporation for us for a ship ministry out of Singapore." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." And you do the things that you can do at that time. And he said, "We're starting to use it now because we prayed and we got all the crew And we still didn't know where the ship was or what it was, but the Lord kept saying, I have one for you. And then we got a call out of the blue. We have now doctors assigned for the ship, and we have nurses, and he just had rattled off all the things that God had given them. And then he said, look, and he showed me a picture. They called, and it's a medical ship that serves in Sumatra, and that's where they were praying for a ship to serve. And it had all the surgery rooms and the theater and so on. It had a place for the dentist. It had a place for everything. It's a double-decker that can also be used in the waterways in the larger rivers. And he said they called and said, we would like for you to buy this from us. And he said, how much? He says, well, there's no sales place for us, but we do need $46,000. $46,000, fully equipped. And so they haggled over, being Chinese, they haggled over the price. Not really. But they, even with upgrading the ship and everything, it's going to cost $100,000 altogether. And they're on their way to getting that ship. And they were going to do that 2 weeks ago, so I'm assuming. And with the other, we just had another ship that was given to us. It's worth $2 million out of Japan. That was done in May. There's another one that came out the other day. I received the news from Norway, so it was the last few days. We'd just been given a ship that was for sale for $10 million, and somebody gave the whole amount. This is just, we're talking days now. Now go back a few weeks and maybe a few months, and we had two other vessels given to us as well. We now are looking at, I think it's 16 ocean-going vessels altogether. And it's just, we're in a time, it's amazing actually. God is just raining ships on us. And our first major ship that we got, we spun that one off because of its size and the liabilities and all. But we have all of these vessels now that are being given around the world. And I just watch God do this. Now, when he tells you it's your land to take, it's the promised land, like Caleb said, you got to fight for it. You can't just say, okay, God, you know, be passive about it. You have to be active. You have to lean forward. Whenever the Lord told me to go to Hawaii the first time, and I didn't know why, and I was in California, he told me to get on a flight at 12 noon, continental flight. So I went out to buy a ticket, and they said, it's full. There were 12 standing in front of me in a line when I handed in my ticket that had no reservation. And I just said to them, he tried to give me back my ticket, and I said, no, I went on that plane. He says, well, you'll have to stand in line. I said, I don't like lines. Can I sit down? He said, do what you want, but he kept my ticket one way. And so I went over and sat as close to the ramp as possible. And I leaned forward, literally looking up that ramp, saying, okay, God, you told me to get on. I can't get on. A man came down the ramp and said, Mr. Cunningham. I said, yes, get on board. I went to the door of the plane. The lady said, I didn't have a boarding pass. I didn't have a ticket. I left it with them. She said, why are you coming? The plane's full. I thought, well, who was that agent? Oh, maybe so. I don't know whose agent it was, but I know it was somehow from God. And she said, well, you'll have to talk to the purser, because I said, the agent told me to get on board. And so I said, where's the purser? He's way at the back of the plane. I could see him, 747. And she said, so I started walking back toward him, and a man looked up at me out of first class. He said, you're sure late. I thought, not me, I'm on time. This is my ship, this is my plane. And so as I waited, And I walked toward the man. I'd asked God for a window seat. And the man looked across the big, plane from side to side, and he spotted one seat, and he pointed at it. I got in, and we started backing up. And I said, God, why do you want me to go to Hawaii? And I didn't know. Now, we had a team there more than a year. They'd had a base started. I had never visited them. Maybe it's a pastoral call, okay. But I knew it was more because God doesn't get me on planes like that every day. And, I have a deal with the airlines because I do fly so much that if I'm not there, they go without me. I don't want to keep other people waiting. And doesn't that sound generous? Yeah. But no, they leave me. But why is it, that God was doing this? He was getting my attention. I'm going to show you something big. Now, get ready, big for my life. And so I'm there for 3 days, and the Lord said, now start a school here. And that's what we did. And that school led to what you see here on the screen. Now, in the same way, the ship, you go through the death of the vision. And we've gone through those deaths in the various ministries. And sometimes it's a little short one. Sometimes it's a long one. But as you go through it, you are being purged and prepared. Purged of those wrong motives and wrong purposes and wrong whatever. And prepared in your character to take the next step. And with that, then comes the releases in God. And they start coming. And you are to... We're not glamorizing the ships. We're just saying, thank you, Jesus. We need more. We're looking for 40 ships altogether. And so right now, and that's our next level. But we organized it totally different. And different bases and places in the world are taking the initiatives. And it's not centralized and it's not controlled. So if you cut off the head, it's not all going to die. And that's the way we do the bases and so on. It's all modular. And the Lord showed us to do that. And he showed us also that the more we have in the ways of answers to prayer, the more we're going to see a great harvest, but also great persecution. And he's warned us of that in the West it'll come through both the media and through the legal means, governments and so on, and we've been seeing that. But we'll also see that violence and all of the rest. And we've had them killed, and we've had those kinds of martyrdom taking place in the last few months now. And four that were captured in one country, and they've been beaten every day for 2 months. And the last one to get out was just a couple of weeks ago. And he said the thing that when he got out, he looked at the time and he said, it's the worst time I ever spent in my life and the best time. He said, on the outside, I wouldn't have grown as fast in the Lord as I have in years versus 2 months. He said, I look on it and praise God for every day. And he said, when they were trying to beat me the last day, they had beaten me day by day by day. And the man that was charged with beating me, he couldn't swing his arm anymore. He's so tired. And he told me, now get up and walk. He wanted to hurt me by my having to walk. And he said, Jesus had taken away all pain. I had no pain at all. And he said, I limped so that they wouldn't beat me some more. But he said, I didn't have any problem. And so we know there's reasons. It's a purging time. That's when the church grows the fastest, when there is more persecution. Because even the persecutors, like at Stephen's death, you have a Paul that is going to be launched as one of the great apostles of all times. So as we're moving into those stages and places, we have ministered into every country on earth multiple times. And as we have done so through the years, we're watching God do things that we could not have ever thought about doing. He says, call unto me, I'll answer you, but I'll show you great and mighty things you don't know.
And those are the things that, make it so amazing that when you're pioneering, the tough times come, the death of the vision comes, but the resurrection brings you to a greater place than you could ever done in years and years and years without that death of a vision. Because it's the cleansing and the empowering and the preparing that allows you to see the great things that God can do through you. And that's what God wants to do in the megalopolises of the world. He wants to do things that you could never imagine. You say, well, at first you count the churches that have been started. But after a while, you begin to see the effects of them out into society as it's done with that vision. Then you begin to see that it's so much more than adding, it's multiplication. As the people of God were added the first day, 3,000. But it was the multiplying at the time of persecution that took place, and it went worldwide. And that's where we have to always not limit what God has said, but embrace the alls and the everys of the Great Commission. And if it says there that we're going to preach the gospel to every person in the world, then we believe that that's going to happen through his people at this time. And if no one else does, you'll say, okay, Lord, we will. But we want to also see, when we embrace the alls, how important unity is in the body of Christ. We need everybody else. And then God can command blessing, because Jesus in John 17 prayed for that unity, that the world would know. That the world would know that God sent him to die for their sins too. And this is where, in pioneering, we embrace everyone that's doing the same work, and in maybe different ways, that's okay. But also, I want you to go and disciple all nations. How do you do that? You soak them. That word baptizo means soaking. And that the illustration is, you take a cucumber. This is in ancient Greek recipes. You take a cucumber and soak it in this vinegar and salt and so on. And after some long period of time, it becomes something else in its DNA. It's a pickle now. So we get soaked in the Word of God. That's discipleship. You can get baptized as a testimony, bapto. You can get baptized in a moment's time. You know, it's very quick. And say, yes, I've followed Jesus. I have died to the world. I've been resurrected to Christ. But in the discipling, that's the soaking in the teach the Word of God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we understand that, then we're going to see that the discipling doesn't come overnight. You can get saved in a moment, but you can't get discipled in a moment. You say, Lord, give me patience right now. Nope, it's going to take tribulation to get it. And so we begin to understand more and more of the task he's calling us to. And when we say, Lord, it's not my will, but thine be done. When we say, you can do all things, and you can even do it through me. Now, take away anything that will keep you from doing that. And as you do that, you're going to see a multiplication of God's work called Solomon's Porch. And you'll see porches all over the world. Not Porsche, porch. Get your eyes a little higher. And see Solomon's Porch all over the world. And multiplying. And if they change the name in the process because they need to for a language, don't worry about names. But get the Word of God multiplied. And then fill the earth. Have a plan for the whole world. Every megalopolis city in the world, if God's calling you to that. And as you get that plan, then you begin to move toward it. And then walk through the excitement of the vision and everybody rejoicing. And the experimental, come back rejoicing. And the cross, come back weeping and broken and then resurrected. And on the other side, that mature attitude of understanding you have the experience behind you, but you also have ahead of you the promises of God. And then exponentially multiply it to the ends of the earth where you can no longer count it. for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray this over this ministry of Solomon's Porch. I pray, God, that you will multiply it, that you will do what you have given as a vision to the leadership, and let the people begin to imbibe it and bond in it and be one in you in the DNA that you give to them in this ministry. And let it glorify you throughout the world. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lauren. Let's rise to our feet and let's just continue to receive the word for us, a specific word for us as a church. Hyunsu is going to lead us in a song, and let's sing as we close our service today.
Myself for good within your promise, and I won't hide it. I won't hide it. Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the end of the earth, to the end of the earth for you. All the world will see you are God, you are God. Love unfailing, overtaking.
Can I invite you to grab someone's hand next to you? Let's go across the aisle. Let's close our time by just praying for one another. You may be in different phases of the five X's that Lauren talked about. You might be in an excitement phase, an experimental phase, or you might be in that place of death, maybe, in this season. And so whatever is going on, let's just lift up the person on the left and right of you and just say, Lord, bring them into a place of multiplication. God, bring them to a place, God, where there's the joy continues forward, Lord, and the vision that you've given them, God, that something happens. And knowing the whole time in this that it's the zeal of the Lord that's doing it. It's not my might, not my power, by the Spirit, says the Lord. And let's just pray for each other right now. Let's just lift one another up before God.
And I would give the world to tell your story, 'cause I know that you've called me. I know that you've called me. I lost myself for good within your promise. I won't hide.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're in it, God. That this is your deal, Lord. God, that you just desire partnership with us, Lord, to join you in your work, Lord God. Lord, forgive us, Lord, if we've, Lord, taken on too much for ourselves, God, and maybe even put too much burdens on ourselves, Lord. And we thank you, God, that it's the zeal of the Lord that's going to accomplish it, Father. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that you would help us as we go through these different phases, God, that we come to the place of exponential growth, Lord. So we thank you. We ask you to seal this word in our hearts, God. Now, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to come and ruin our lives through it, God. Begin to just touch us, Lord. And God, that though it was sweet in our mouth, God, let it be now bitter in our stomachs, Lord, as you churn the word of God deep within us and you cause it to manifest life. We thank you, Lord. We bless you today, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't you hug your neighbor next to you and say, thanks for praying for me. If you can make your way, we got a cake for Lauren. And so I think you got to blow out the candle in the back. So Lisa. Can you just take Lauren to the back? Please enjoy some cake as you make your way and have a wonderful day today.